The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
There are more arrests on college campuses Saturday as some universities seek to close their gates to outsiders. But pro-Palestinian protests and encampments continue to spread.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon and welcome. It is great to be back here with you today. Woo! A lot is going on in the world, isn't it? From our campuses here, all across the country, universities to what's happening on Capitol Hill to what's happening internationally. Good to be with you. I'll take a few minutes, bring you up to speed on a lot of this. And then I want to fill you in today a little bit on a deep fake that almost cost somebody his freedom and reputation. I'll tell you, AI is unbelievable. And I'll share with you a story of something my kids showed me. We all got together over the weekend with AI. I haven't shared this with you yet, Maggie. I'll have to share with you how good AI is actually getting. That will talk Eucharistic miracles and a whole lot more. We got a great show. We're going to go ahead and pray the chaplet coming up. So if you're saying, Drew, things are tough in my life, can you help? Well, I can simply intercede, and I'll certainly do that for you, along with, oh, I can't tell you how many other souls around the country and around the world who will gather in about an hour to go before our Heavenly Father and ask for that mercy, that grace, and those miracles. And Maggie was just sharing with me before we started the show about one of our colleagues here, and I don't want to disclose anything yet because we haven't spoken to them about it, but what appears to be a real miracle. I mean, miracle. A pretty amazing story. We've been praying for this particular individual, and hopefully we'll get him on the air to share that story. But it just reaffirms what I say to you every day. Miracles happen, right? God's real. He exists. He's an intimate part of our life. And prayer works. Prayer changes things. And, you know, if that's the only thing you ever remember from any of my broadcasts, then I've done my job. I stand before God. I just, you know, and I'm learning a lesson too, to be honest with you. I when I see these things, it only helps deepen my own faith, my own walk, my own trust. We're all put to the test of life. No one's perfect, right? We all have our weaknesses, our foibles, our doubts. But I'll tell you, when you see God come through and there's no explanation for it, it really makes you think, Lord, why did I ever doubt you, right? I reflect just on the enormity of his creation, not just our planet and the mysteries of it, not only those at subatomic levels. I've talked about the mystery of our solar system and our galaxy and the galaxies that are out there, the infinite nature of the universe. It's God's big. He's bigger than your cancer and any other problem you might have right now. So do not be despondent, right? Have faith. Stick to it. God won't fail you. Trust me. He brings good out of every situation. We got a lot going on in the country here, though. From police officers being shot and killed, I've seen a lot of those reports over the weekend, to tornadoes, right? Oh my gosh. Have you seen the footage of those tornadoes? Insane. And I didn't say this publicly to Maggie yet. I was talking, Maggie, to one of our other producers, Tom, and we were just taking a look at the violence in nature. I mean, you saw Tornado Alley, you saw the middle of this country just being wreaked, just totally devastated, just destroyed by these tornadoes. And I thought, isn't that interesting how quickly that came after the solar eclipse, right? And we talked about the New Madrid Fault. We talked about the abortion capitals. We talked about the sin in this country. My personal theory, and it is not reflective of Relevant or anyone else, this is simply Drew Mariani, so don't hold anybody to this. I personally believe, and we'll see if I'm right or wrong on this, and I hope I'm wrong, I think we're going to see an intensification of both the frequency of these natural calamities and an amping up of their intensity. And now, there's some logical explanations for this, too. El Nino and La Nina, the experts are forecasting more violent hurricane seasons. What are we going to see happen, right? What are we going to see happen in the country? Are we going to see the power of God manifested in nature due to our rejection of him and sin? Maybe. Some of you might think, Drew, that's ridiculous. I don't buy that one bit. So Tom this morning, Maggie, said to me, he says, you know something, Drew, I think there's a lot of merit in what you say. He says, but you know what you might be missing? I'm like, what? He says, this Eucharistic revival. Mm. We're having a Eucharistic revival in July, right?
Great point.
Where we're going to be taking the Eucharist from four quadrants of the country, mm-hmm. converging together. And it's really true. A little bit later, I want to share with you a little bit how powerful the Eucharist is in warding off natural calamity, storms, and evil. And I'll share a story with you right after the chaplet today that I came across. I think you will appreciate. But I don't know. I mean, you were there for totality. So
yeah, well, as you're saying this about the tornadoes, I just kept thinking, Jonah went through Nineveh saying 40 days more, 40 days more, you know? And so you just kind of go, well, that's pretty stark if that were the true prognosis.
Yeah, it's so true.
But Tom has a great point. Yeah.
And it goes back to what we always talk about, God's mercy. I believe God is infinitely mercy. Yes. He wants to shower his mercy. But you know what? If we turn our back on him, you know, if we spit in his face and continue to dissent and sin and reject his laws, which are only for our own good, then consequences follow, right? They follow. And it shouldn't be a surprise to any of us. We see a lot of chaos in the hearts of our people. I look at this these college campuses around the country, and we'll speak to somebody from Columbia coming up a little bit, in probably about 20 minutes here. He's going to be stopping in the studio. Apparently, officials there got fed up. They gave kids who were occupying the campus there, in the common, I should say, until 2 p.m. Eastern time today to decamp and clean up. Otherwise, police are going to come in and you will be cleaned up and you will be taken away. There was a protest that erupted at Jackson Square in New Orleans. Local and state police had to put up a human barricade in front of the St. Louis Cathedral there as arrests were made. CBS News will bring you right to the heart of these campuses where so many of these protests are taking place. Listen to this. Here's a little bit more.
At Northeastern University in Boston Saturday, more than 100 demonstrators were arrested. In Indiana, state troopers in riot gear arrested dozens of protesters who ignored orders to take down tents. And in Los Angeles Saturday night, the University of Southern California closed its campus to anyone but residents after protesters returned to the school. The LAPD issued a tactical alert. At campuses across the country, pro-Palestinian protesters continue to call for universities to divest from companies that do business with Israel. The images have spread worldwide, but many Jewish students say they're encountering anti-Semitism.
I, like many students, fear that the extremist rhetoric could at any moment become real violence.
At Washington University in St. Louis, hundreds chanted to free Gaza.
Do you think that Hamas should release the U.S. and Israeli hostages?
I think, to be honest, I think that's like a little bit of a, I don't know, I'm not sure I agree with the framing of that question.
At Cal Poly Humboldt, where students continue to occupy administrative buildings, the school says it is now enforcing a hard closure of campus. And at Columbia University, the administration banned one student protest leader after videos surfaced of them saying, quote, Zionists don't deserve to live. An encampment remains up on the lawn where commencement ceremonies are still scheduled for May 15th.
Clearly, there's chaos and in the heart of a lot of people, a lot of confusion out there. Margaret's in Chicago. She was at the Northwestern campus while they were protesting. Hi, Margaret. Good afternoon.
Hi. Yes, I drove past Northwestern on my bike. And it's the same people you see at every protest, no matter what they're protesting. And I was on my bike, so I saw little groups outside the fence because you got the big one inside the school and you've got little ones outside the fence. And I saw some homosexuals and transgenders that were fighting for Hamas. And I stopped and I said, do you realize you're fighting for a group that wants you dead, that don't think you need, that you should exist? And of course, I just got hate thrown back at me. But I thought, you're smart kids. You're at Northwestern and you have no idea what you're protesting.
Yeah. Well, and that's the sad part of it all. I mean, I understand that some people are protesting on the part of the Palestinians and how much loss of life, the destruction of homes, this famine, starvation is taking place. But to your point, Margaret, and I think this is not even talked about. I'm so glad you called to share it. You have to remember what Hamas did, putting babies in ovens and microwaves, decapitating men, raping and pillaging and taking women and holding hostages. You're so right. And if you, a lot of these transgenders on campuses, a lot of other people who are there, if they were over in Gaza right now, believe me, Hamas would find the tallest building they could to throw them off. So, you know, you really have got to draw distinctions here. It really is quite tragic. Hey, thank you, Margaret, for calling. I do appreciate you coming in. Just on another note, I'll take a few more calls. I only have a couple minutes on this. The protests have gotten the attention of someone who's pretty important, the Ayatollah Khamenei, the dictator of Iran. You know what he put on X today? Let me just quote him. I saw this a little bit earlier. He says, quote, see what's happening in the world? In Western countries, in England, in France, and in states across the U.S. itself, people are coming out in huge numbers to chant slogans against Israel and America. U.S. and Israel's reputation has been ruined. They truly have no solution. End of quote. So you have to wonder how much he's using state funds to pay his wealthy friends to help stir things up. You know, and this is just a personal observation. When you take a look at these protests, I find it amazing that not just within the United States, but if you look at other nations around the world, how these are all taking place at the same time on the same day. You take a look at the food. You take a look at the tents. You take a look at the signs that are there. This is orchestrated. It is funded. It is funded. All these students are protesting against the U.S. and Israel, even calling for the final solution against Jews. That's a darkening of the mind. Muslim immigrants in Germany are threatening Germans. There was a video posted on X of a young Muslim man telling an interviewer, "When we become the majority, we will impose Sharia law." I pray to God that none of us will ever see Sharia law. And you know what I need to do? It's been a while since I've done it. I've done shows in the past on Sharia law and how it's manifesting in France and in different places, even in our own country. What it's all about and what it would mean for you and for your freedom. That kid, he admitted that the law requires him to throw homosexuals off a mountain. Muslim immigrants in Canada are doing the same thing. Listen to what they said. They said, quote, "Soon we will be in majority because we have many children." And they're right. The replacement rate to keep a nation stable is 2.1 children per childbearing mother, right? Muslim population, they're at 8.1. The U.S., I just saw a stat, I think it was today or the other day, we have fallen below replacement. And there's a lot of other nations that are suffering that as well. But I'll go back to his quote. Again, this is a Muslim immigrant in Canada. He says, "Soon we'll be the majority because we have many children and we will impose Sharia. We don't want homosexuals in Islam." That's what this Muslim immigrant said in Canada. They're not sugarcoating it, right? They're just telling you the truth. That's really what this is all about. So look at it for what it is. Students who are being arrested, by the way, they're suddenly realizing that the arrest could mean real world trouble for them. They're starting to demand amnesty because if they are arrested and suspended, they're going to get records and they're, you know, trying to get a job. They're going to have maybe a hard time explaining that to their employers. So they're trying to negotiate right now with some of these university officials to make sure that, you know, this doesn't go onto their records. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Look, there's consequence for action. It's one of the lessons I've always tried to impart into my children. You know, your actions have consequences. So really think before you act. Think before you act. The president, one other note here, and Katie Talenta is going to be joining me as well. We'll revisit this coming up too. But Peter Atkinson is going to be stopping by bottom of the hour so we can open the phones, take a few more of your calls as we take a look at these protests around the country. But on the presidential campaign trail, just one other thing just to keep your finger on the pulse of, and I'll continue to follow this. There's a new poll from CNN. It shows that former President Donald Trump has a 6-point lead over President Joe Biden when the two go head-to-head. And if you add Robert Kennedy Jr. and the other third-party candidates, his lead widens. I was just watching a CBS News feed in the studio here, and they're like, oh, they're basically Trump and Biden are tied based on the three leading polls. I'm like, really? It's so interesting how different these polls are. CNN said that 55% of all Americans now say that they see Trump's presidency as a success. 44% see it as a failure. In contrast, 61% say that Biden's presidency has been a failure. Only 39 see it as a success. So you can really see the radical, well, you can see how different the view is. And a lot of this is driven by the economy. You know, up until now, President Biden said he didn't want to debate the president. And he hasn't. He hasn't even taken really a lot of questions from reporters unless, you know, he knew who he was going to go to. He didn't do any debates during the primaries and made sure that Robert Kennedy was kept off the Democratic ballot. But he apparently is feeling the heat about not debating Trump. And he told Howard Stern that he would debate Trump. Stern asked Biden if he would he would debate his opponent, I think is the word he used. And he says, yeah, I'm somewhere, I don't know when, but I'd be happy to debate him. CBS News will bring you to the heart of, number four, Meg. This is a quick clip from Fox News. Check this out.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. Yeah. I'm happy to debate him.
If you can't debate, then you shouldn't be running for president of the United States if you're not capable of debating. And look, I'm not convinced this thing is going to happen. He said four times that he would defend Taiwan and four times his administration, his staff role, walked it back. But if it happens, it's great. I think not only should Donald Trump debate him, I think Donald Trump should show up at the vice presidential debate and say, I'm going to debate her too because she's the real candidate. let's have Trump debate all of them.
Apparently, I think Donald Trump is getting under the former president, or the former president is getting under the current president's skin. They have these White House correspondents dinner annually. It's always fun. The president gets up there. He took shots at President Trump. Listen to this. Here's just a snippet from that event.
The 2024 election is in full swing. And yes, age is an issue. I'm a grown man. Running against a six-year-old. Age is the only thing we have in common. My vice president actually endorses me.
There's a lot more of it. I'm not going to play it right now, but we can, maybe I'll do it a little bit later because it's worth listening to. I mean, some of it was really cringy, but... so much we can get into. I want to hit one other thing, which is going to really impact the elections, and it's a life issue, right? They're talking about how voters look not only at the economy, but the life issue. And one of the real confusing issues right now is in vitro fertilization. After the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that parents can sue under the state's pro-life law for destroying embryos by in vitro, a lot of people went crazy. They went nuts. And the hospitals in the states shut down their IVF programs. And commentators all around the world began to say, this is the end of the technology. Republicans, they want to prevent IVF. And as a result of that, there's now a bill in Congress, actually put forward by a Republican and a Democrat, that would require employers across the country to pay for in vitro fertilization. It's called the Hope with Fertility Act. And it would not only require this employer, but it would apply to anyone who wants to get, no matter what their marital status is, in vitro. So it means married couples and non-married couples or non-married groups, same-sex couples, right? So you can go through the whole list, transgender people. Your employer will be mandated to submit annual reports to Secretary of Labor telling about their compliance with the bill's provision, and the threat of being publicly named and shamed for noncompliance is going to have an impact. A lot of people are going to be getting behind. It's not clear where the religious provision in the bill is, because would Relevant Radio, would EWTN, would Little Sisters of the Poor, would they support this, or would they object? Like they did with some of the other legislation that was put forward. Katie Talento is Executive Director of the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries. She joins me now. You can find her at ahcsm.org. Katie, thanks for your time. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
I'm grateful for what you're doing. I saw you guys are the tip of the spear on this, trying to sound the alarm. The first question that I want to run by you is, are groups like Relevant Radio or EWTN or Little Sisters of the Poor or others, dioceses, would they be exempt from something like this?
No, not as far as I can tell. There's no religious protection in the bill. I will say the good news is that it looks like Senator Roger Marshall, Republican, has gotten off the bill. So that's great. It's now just a Democrat bill by Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey.
So how extensive is the bill? If I'm a Catholic who owns a business of any kind, would I have to do this? And what's the criteria for those who it covers?
Yeah, so it applies to what's called ERISA plans, which are, ERISA is the federal law that regulates insurance of larger employers, meaning typically if you're running an ERISA plan, you have over 100 employees. You can have as few as 50, but usually it's over 100, often over even more. But basically, these types of plans cover more than half of American workers and their families. So this is a serious, serious threat. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, there, I know Catholic plans that are ERISA plans, many of them, and Catholic employers, Catholic owned for-profit businesses, Catholic owned ministries. There are a number of serious problems with the applicability and the sweeping scope of the bill.
Yeah. So, you know, and help all of us understand the enormity of this and what it means. Because, you know, when you hear about these bills, it's out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people. I don't think twice about it. Is this going to be of the level of the Hobby Lobby lawsuit that we had previously? Are we going to see another Hobby Lobby lawsuit at this ball if this passes?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It would have to be litigated because, you know, Catholic employers of good conscience cannot participate. I mean, they can't. So it would have to be, you know, there would have to be some brave employer who would be willing to put their name and their money out on the line and sue the Biden administration.
So how much is it going to cost an employer? I mean, what's the economic impact of this?
Yeah, so the economic impact is terrifying. I mean, apart from the moral questions, it's terrifying. You know, already healthcare costs are eating our economy and they're really drowning our employers who pay 75% of those healthcare costs for their workers. You know, patients and employees, they pay about 25 or 30%. That's not nothing. It's drowning those people too, of course, all of us. But employers really, what would end up happening is because they have to report to the Department of Labor about, you know, how they're complying with this bill and how their coverage for IVF is, you know, as comprehensive as it possibly could be. And they get shamed if they're deemed not compliant. Because of that, what employers would end up having to do is almost certainly just make it unlimited coverage because otherwise you're going to get totally dinged. But even if it weren't unlimited coverage, it's still extremely expensive.
Yeah, you know, I could not agree with you more. I just want to put it into perspective for people because sit back, you're like, you had, I don't know whether it was a press release or I saw an article where you were quoted in there. And you were the one who actually said employers should be afraid, very afraid, because, you know, each cycle of IVF can run, tens of thousands of dollars and often multiple cycles are needed. And it could devastate not only the financial well-being of businesses, but also the entire economy, because it requires, as I was pointing out, not only to cover infertile male and female couples, but same-sex couples, transgender identifying employees, potentially includes IVF, you know, related surrogacy costs, a practice that some liken to commercial surrogacy or baby selling. So for a lot of Christian employers, this is a big moral dilemma. You need to be aware of it. I'm just putting it on your radar right now. I know that sometimes out of sight, out of mind, it's easier to say, it'll get resolved. What can we do to make a difference? I know we only have a moment or two left here. And what's the church, you know, what are other agencies doing? Is it Catholic Church or Christian organizations or healthcare agencies? Or what's currently being done and what can the individual do?
Well, I think one thing people and Catholics, especially of goodwill, need to do is contact their elected officials and let them know that they oppose IVF. I mean, and they certainly oppose mandates of IVF. I think that part of the problem here is we've had the Republican Party just turn on a dime. Like in a week, the platform had changed.
Yeah, that's so true. I could not agree with you more. Could not agree with you more. And that's the problem. I mean, everybody thinks, IVF is a good. Nobody looks at the loss of life and what happens to so many of those embryos. Katie, I only have a moment left, so let me give you your website. What's the best way to connect if they want to read more or learn a little bit more about what you're doing?
Yeah, people can come to ahcsm.org. That's Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries.org. They can reach me on LinkedIn or Twitter at Katie Talento.
Hey, thank you, Katie. Keep ringing the bell, okay? We'll be here for you and we'll continue to follow this story.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate you.
You got it. That's Katie Talento. If you want to do a quick search for it's TALENTO, and you can check her out. And Katie spelled with a K, KATY, if you do it a quick search, but also you can check out the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries. When we come back, we'll change gears. Again, I just try to pull back the veil on a lot of this stuff. I'm afraid of another Hobby Lobby case. I'm concerned about where this might lead. There's a lot of confusion over that particular issue. But when we come back, couple things. Russell Brand, I don't know if you heard about him. He's incredibly intelligent. Whenever I listen to this guy talk, I watched a podcast with him not too long ago. I was pretty amazed. He's an actor and a comedian. He announced Friday he's going to be baptized. And I think he was baptized this weekend. And he was wrestling for a long time with the tenets of Christianity. We'll fill you in on him. Plus, I don't know if you heard about the latest AI fake that took place. This is a horrible, horrible story. There was a athletic high school director that was arrested after allegedly using AI to create fake, racist, anti-Semitic audio of the school's principal. This guy's reputation was sullied and much more. I'll fill you in on that detail. And we'll talk more about what's happening on campuses all around the country. That and a whole lot more straight ahead. Stay with me.
The Drew Mariani Show is live now. The Drew Mariani Show. Here for you on Relevant Radio.
The Baltimore County Police Department became aware of a voice recording being circulated on social media. It was alleged the voice on the audio file belonged to Mr. Eric Eisworth, the principal at the Pikesville High School. The recording was not authentic. The Baltimore County Police Department reached that determination after conducting an extensive investigation. The results of the analysis indicated the recording contained traces of AI-generated content.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that to me is such an amazing story. I saw this story over the weekend and my heart went out to this guy. In Baltimore, a high school athletic director was arrested for allegedly being using artificial intelligence to create a fake racist and anti-Semitic audio recording of the school principal. I guess he should be arrested. This is the first, and this is going to go to court, and we're going to be seeing a whole new arena of legal precedent being set. This is called deep fake audio. And it was designed to not only slander, but disrupt the life of this principal, showing the real consequences of it. I forget how many views, hundreds of thousands of views. I mean, a lot of people had eyes on this. Apparently this athletic director, he was the director at Pikesville High School in Baltimore, was accused of engineering this clip that falsely portrayed the principal in a very negative light. Maggie, you have some of the audio, right?
This is part of the like original audio that was faked.
And we cleaned it up though, right? Some of it.
There's like edits. There's
good, thanks.
You'll hear it. There's lots of little jumps in the audio.
You know, I seriously don't understand why I have to constantly put up with these kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag or these teachers who don't get it. How hard is it to get these students to meet their grade level expectations? Lawrence and Ravenel should have never been hired. And don't let me get started on DJ. I'm going to get something to stick. I'm just so sick of the inadequacies of these people.
And what you heard there was sanitized because all of the racial epithets and everything else were taking out of this. This clip, by the way, it spread through social media, not only disrupted the school environment, also placed the principal, a guy named Eric Eisworth, under undue scrutiny and threat. And it showed really the repercussions of digital misinformation. And I've invited Peter Atkinson to join me today. He hails from the Merry Beggars. A couple of weeks ago, he was in studio with us, and we had that special fundraising drive for the great work he does with the Merry Beggars. But he and I have been talking AI and Hollywood and a whole lot of other things. And Peter, as I hear this story, it makes me think of how AI in this manner raises really significant ethical concerns and how powerful these tools are. Maybe you could put this clip that people heard into a much better perspective, because I don't think it does justice to really what went down.
So thank you so much for having me on, Drew. I love this story because, you know, day in, day out, we're telling the lives of the saints, and we look for stories full of drama, intrigue, adventure, you know, evil fighting good. But this story has enough drama. I don't think we're going to adapt it into a saint series anytime soon. But the backstory of this is unbelievably dramatic. So it happened at Pikesville High School, Maryland, and this all went down in January 2024, so this year. And Dazon Darian, who is 31 years old, the athletic director at Pikesville High, he was accused by Eric Eisberg, the principal, of financial mismanagement. So there was this background between the two, and Darian apparently allegedly paid $1,916 to an assistant girls football coach who never actually existed, never did anything. Wow. And the person he paid the the money to was Darian's roommate. So, you know, who knows what the backstory is there. After that happened, Eric Eisbert fires him, and Darian, using the school system, so not going on a different internet network, but actually using the same network, starts Googling how to create deepfakes and how to use AI to impersonate someone else. And he creates a voice clone of the principal. And the reason I love this story is, you know, it's a terrible story, but if you listen to the audio, I would have been fooled by that.
Oh my gosh.
100%. Absolutely. I would have absolutely thought that was actually someone's real voice. And what's frightening is no one ever said those words, right? Like no human being actually said those words. And it's just a completely crazy, brave new world where you or I or anyone else could have fake audio, fake video created of them doing, you know, terrible things or committing crimes. And this is one of the first times that we've seen someone who doesn't have a technical background, doesn't have a technical background, but in just a normal sort of bad workplace environment was able to use AI generated content to cause people to issue death threats against the principal. So the reason that this all exploded was it was posted on Instagram on January 17, and he received comments like, world would be a better place if you were on the other side of the dirt, or D-Ray McKesson, who's a civil rights activist. He has a million followers on Twitter, and he said he was a former student of the principal, and he said, quote, I'm in no way surprised by his comments in this recording, comments that he never said, right? Comments that were AI generated. And he said that Eisbert's teaching and administrator licenses should be permanently revoked. And I think where this brings my mind back to is all of the sort of classic warnings against democracy, right? So Aristotle, de Tocqueville, the American founders, they always warned us against democracy because they warned that it would devolve into mob rule. Yep. And that's one thing when people have to meet in bars and plot, you know, coups right. against the government. It's something else when you can just hop on your computer and for $20, I can create, audio of Drew Mariani or audio of Maggie or audio of whoever saying things that would get them fired or saying, you know, terrible whatever things. And the judgment will be, you know, will come to pass by millions of social media users. What's the Mark Twain quote? A lie gets twice around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes.
True.
Social media just puts that on the next level.
Yeah, Pope Francis once said, he says, the more powerful the technology, the more critical the ethics. And as we stand on the brink of tools that are now capable of really recreating the very essence of our personal identity, our voice, I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's crucial that we do have these frameworks in place. And the technology is only accelerating. You and I were talking about this not too long ago, Peter. Look where we are.
Well, and so there's a great talk called the AI Dilemma from Tristan Harris, who's the founder of Center for Humane Technology. And he made this incredible point, which is every time a new technology is invented, there's a new class of responsibilities that also gets invented. So no one ever thought of protecting a right to privacy until we had the internet, right? Until we had records. No one in Europe, you have the right to be forgotten, right? And that's something that the EU came up with because now records of you can exist for forever in servers around the world. And so with new data structure, with new technology, people learned that there needed to be a right that your name, your likeness, your behavior shouldn't live on for forever if you don't want it to. And so with AI, we're starting to see something of a chord with that, which is what happens when you can no longer trust your ears, your eyes, your memory, everything that we thought we could trust. The way Tristan Harris puts it is it's as if overnight all of the locks on everything around the world were simultaneously unlocked at the same time. And we're still going to figure out what that means for decades to come.
We have a colleague here that you and I work with. And we were talking just about what was happening with Hamas and Israel and Gaza and that whole thing. And he says, you know, on social media right now, there are videos out there. And have you seen the bulldozer video? I said, no, I haven't seen the bulldozer video. Apparently, and I can't even believe that this is true. He says that there's footage of Israel. They wanted something on in the Gaza Strip. Apparently there was a preschool on it or something that had a bunch of kids. So they just randomly took these bulldozers, and you see kids falling out the windows as they bulldoze these kids to death. Now, I can't believe that's real. That has got to be absolutely a deep fake, but people are seeing that. Then he gave me another example on the opposite side of this type of stuff. How does one discern that type of stuff? And you know, how many of these kids protesting? How many people today are looking at this stuff and thinking that it's reality when it's not?
So if you think back to how the Nazi regime came to power, it came to power, you know, Hitler was not an amazing leader at the very beginning. The Nazis were sort of a loser political party for the most part, but the one thing they were exceptional at was propaganda.
Yeah.
And Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister for Nazi Germany, was incredible at utilizing new mediums. At that point, it was cinema and film, in order to craft a new narrative that people believed. Now, we haven't really been subject to that level of propaganda, and propaganda hasn't been that powerful for the past 30, 40, 50 years, because you had photographs and you could trust the photographs. You had videos, you could trust the videos.
Right.
We're moving into a new era that it's akin to when the printing press was invented, and suddenly authorities no longer were authoritative. You know, instead of trusting the Catholic Church to interpret the Bible, you and your neighbor and the barkeeper down the street could have their own versions of the Bible and interpret it. And suddenly the Reformation sort of exploded with 1,000 different interpretations. I have never seen in my lifetime the amount, I mean, authority and institutions are trusted less than they ever have been before. And I think part of that is exactly what you're saying, which is not only can AI create fake images, not only can it create fake audio and create fake video, but also real video will no longer be trusted.
I know.
So even if you are not creating fake, you know, propaganda, the authority that normal audio, text, and videos and images would have is completely eviscerated. And you know, people talk about being in a post-truth era, and I think AI is just accelerating that.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's not just political opponents here in this country. We've got enemies abroad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think China and Iran and Russia are all beginning to develop this type of stuff to influence elections, depending who they want and who they don't want on?
Well, they already have. It's called TikTok.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
And China has a version of TikTok inside of China, but it's not called TikTok. Yeah. I forget the name for it, but they don't actually let TikTok inside their own country, because they know that if you have a massive social media network like that, other countries will use it to manipulate them, right? I predict in the next 5, 10, 15 years, if current trends continue, every country will start to have their own firewall around their internet, because they recognize that if they have a global internet, other people will use those networks to influence the population. India has banned TikTok. Why? Because they know that China's going to use it to influence Indian elections.
I saw a Chinese representative today. I was sitting in the studio. I've got a couple TV monitors on this wall in front of me here. And I heard him saying, you know, we're here to defend your First Amendment rights. Yeah. We're here to defend the Constitution. I mean, that's what they're saying about why you need to have TikTok. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, the only thing your kids can see on TikTok or your version of it are science experiments and how to be better citizens, right?
Yeah.
What are our kids exposed to? Transgender, woke, you know, mind-warping viruses. I mean, we do not need that stuff in this country, let alone the agenda that it's promulgating.
Well, so. and the First Amendment argument is so fallacious too, because if you shut down TikTok, there would immediately be 5, 10, 15 TikToks that spring up overnight, right? The idea that the defense of a Chinese communist arm of propaganda is being defended by the First Amendment is laughable. It just does not make sense. And you see this with Columbia, with the student protests that are happening at Columbia, NYU, and elsewhere.
Yep.
The younger generation is just operating on completely different streams of information.
So we can talk about that too. Let me take a break, because when we come back, I do want to talk about how coordinated this is. You're a graduate of Columbia.
Yes.
You know, we see these. I think they were given an ultimatum today by 2 p.m. to pack up your tents or you're going to be arrested. But if you want to join us, Peter Atkinson's in studio with me. I have a few minutes with him. You can get in at 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We're talking about OpenAI unveiling a groundbreaking technology known as Voice Engine, which has the capability to recreate a person's voice in just 15 seconds from an audio sample. And we've seen a principal maligned by an athletic director because he had his personal issues with him. The guy ultimately was arrested for that. But the damage that's done, you know, a lot of times can be irreparable. This tool isn't just mimicking voices. It's now about creating opportunities for, a myriad of other things. And it's posing a lot of significant ethical challenges. We'll talk about that. We can talk about Columbia if we got time. We'll even talk Russell Brand. It looks like he's coming around, too, to the faith. So that and a whole lot more straight ahead. Stay with us.
All the issues, all the topics, one place. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, live, coming up. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It is good to be here with you. I'm joined this afternoon by Peter Atkinson. He hails from the Merry Beggars. I hope you're checking out his Saints series. Peter, before we get into more issues, very quickly, how can people hear the Saints and get plugged in all of the work you're doing?
Well, people can always go to thesaintspodcast.com. That's thesaintspodcast.com. Or on the Relevant Radio website, there's a beautiful logo of the Saints that they can click on. Carlo Acutis' birthday is coming up on May 3rd. So we're re-releasing that series with Carlo Acutis. So you can get ready with your family or send it to loved ones as you look forward to celebrating his upcoming birthday.
And a giant thank you to everyone who helped support the Merry Beggars. That was an incredible thing. I was actually blown away. It was a lesson for me in God's providence.
It's incredible.
It really was, Peter.
It's incredible.
And God hears prayers. I'm convinced of it. I know you were praying hard and the Lord really came through. So we're grateful for everyone who supports the efforts of Relevant Radio. We do a lot of different things from, you know, an entertainment division to broadcast talk radio to prayer. We do a lot of different things here and we continue to try to reach souls through lots of these different medias. If you're just joining me, we're talking about a number of different things. AI, I was mentioning, has a groundbreaking technology known as the voice engine. It has the capability of recreating a person's voice in 15 seconds. And we can see how it can be manipulated, how incredible ethical safeguards are in this, guardrails for something like this. Over the weekend, it was my birthday this past week. And so my kids all got together and, yeah, my daughter's kind of goofy sometimes. I mean, she likes to make up songs and words, and I'm sure everybody has somebody in the family like that, right? So she made up some weird jingle about, you know, a man whose wife got on a plane, and the plane, sounds macabre, went down, and he was waiting for her to come home by his pecan pie, right? You know, and it was something to that premise, right? Well, they went to this app or this AI, and, you know, she had some sort of jingle that she made up. They asked it, write a song about, you know, this story. This thing wrote a song. It was like a country song, like it was a ballad. It was so good. It was mind-blowing. It blew us all away. I'm like, that could be on the radio. That was such a good song. And I'm thinking, my gosh, if I was to write if I was a songwriter, how easy to ask the AI to do my lyrics for me, right? Or even to come up with that particular jingle. The question that raises whether it's somebody mimicking my voice or whether it's somebody creating, as we talked about in the past, actual video from pixels, or whether it is writing a hit song. How do you determine whether this is artificial intelligence that does this or whether or not there's a human touch to it? Because like I said, all these things now, and this is so new, they're so good. And look, the baby's just out of the womb. When this thing learns to walk, let alone run, it's going to be mind-blowing.
Well, so what's interesting is in the case we were talking about of the athletic director, Dazan Darian, who fraudulently created racist audio from the principal, Eric Eitzwart, who, to be clear, never said any of those things.
Right,
It was just Dazan Darian who created this fake audio. And he had no technical training. That's what's the scary thing about this is this could have been done 10 years ago, but only by people who are very, very advanced in computer technology. Now it can be done by any of your employees who are mad at you. So, you know, Drew, your producers, right?
Maggie, you're great.
Yeah, right.
You're the greatest.
But what's interesting about this is they had to call in the FBI. So the police were investigating this, but it was escalated to the Federal Bureau of Investigations to analyze the audio. And the only reason they were able to identify it as fake, as fabricated, was there were traces of AI content with human editing after the fact. So apparently, Dazan Darian added background sound effects to make it more realistic. Wow. So, you know, we don't have any positions for sound designers at the Mary Bakers, but, you know, maybe he's what we should be looking for. Yeah, right. But it's only because the AI isn't that good yet. Yeah. You know, in 5-10 years, when the AI generated content is indistinguishable from actual recorded audio, it's just going to be a very brave new world.
It's wild stuff.
And what I was saying to you earlier, we always think about it as, oh, this is going to generate a lot of fake content that is going to trick people. But it's also the reverse, like you were saying before, which is, it's going to make us not trust all the real content.
Yeah.
So it's not only that nefarious actors will be able to use fake AI generated content to defame and attack people. It's also going to mean that video and content that is real will no longer be trusted. So like you were saying in the Israeli-Palestine war in Gaza, we can't trust the propaganda coming from either side.
Right.
Even though one side may be telling the truth and one might not be telling the truth, we just don't know and we can't trust, which is, you know, scary.
So bring me to, I guess, university campuses around the country. You're a graduate of Columbia. You heard at the top of the hour, as we get closer to graduation, a lot of these universities are trying to get those tents out and
yes,
those protesters away. Campus authorities at places like Columbia, New York University, Yale, Princeton, Harvard, these elite schools, you know, have tolerated this, I think, way too long. But these are educated kids, you know. And I'm hoping these are respected universities, right? I mean,
I think the level of education is inverse with how many Ivy Leagues are around it.
That's so,
so
funny.
There was a great video on TikTok, I saw it on Twitter, where there were two girls protesting on the NYU campus. They were from Columbia University. And some guy with a camera goes up to them and says, hey, why are you guys here protesting? And the girl says, well, you know, something, something Gaza. And the guy with the video says, okay, well, what are you hoping NYU will stop doing? You know,
because
apparently, I don't know why they're protesting NYU, but so she says, well, I don't really know what NYU is doing. And I don't really know actually why I'm here. She turns to the girl to the left of her and says, why are we here? What are we trying to stop NYU doing?
Yeah.
And the girl says, I don't know. I wish I was more educated.
Now, I'm willing to be arrested over it.
The actual quote was, I wish I was more educated. I think if you're going for a humanities or liberal arts education, you should go to someone like our sponsor, Ave Maria University.
Amen.
Or University of Dallas or others, and actually get a real education. Because if you go to Columbia University, NYU, or any of the other Ivy Leagues, you're getting a credential that you belong to a certain status in society, but you are probably going to actually be dumber when you graduate than when you go in.
So, and it goes to my point too. It's like, what are they? I mean, where are they getting this information? This has got to be coming over, I'm assuming, social media platforms. Who's fomenting this? And how are so many universities on the same day, same week, all gathering together in protest?
Because it took 50 years to get to this point, Drew. The public schools, or as some people like to call them, the government schools, mm-hmm, for 50 years have been teaching that Western civilization is inherently rotted to the core.
Yep.
And it is a corrupt, misogynistic, patriarchal institution that is oppressing people, right? And the way to get out of that is to liberate yourself through third wave, fourth wave, fifth wave feminism, through abortion, through sexual liberation, through whatever the flavor of the month gender is. You know, this stuff didn't happen overnight. This stuff has been happening for decades. And to quote one of the women in that video, she said, she was asked, why are you here? What do you believe? She said, I don't really know. I went to public school. One of my teachers in public school told us that Israel cannot be trusted and we shouldn't support them. That was as deep as her reasoning went, you know? So I think we can look at this and say, well, TikTok this, social media that, that's all true. But the problem's deeper. The problem goes through our entire educational system.
It's almost like a contagion, though, that's out there. You know, there's a rise of anti-Semitism, as I'm shocked by, Zionism,
yep.
You know? I mean, and I'm thinking, well, what is fomenting this? You know, and where does it come from? And how does that fire get started?
Who knows? That's, I mean, there, you give me a 3-hour talk show and we'll talk through it all, because it is very, very, very complicated. The one thing that I sort of take as a reason why people might believe this is they're rebelling against the Judeo-Christian tradition, because that tradition calls us to die to ourselves and to go through self-sacrifice. And I think that Israel and Gaza and all the issues around that tend to be the tip of the spear that they, or not the, the handle that they hold on to in order to get to the rejection of Western civilization or the rejection of our Christian heritage. That, well, that's my sense.
Well, Peter, we'll leave it at that point because I only have about a minute left. I'm grateful for all you do here as well, and we'll have you back because we didn't even talk Russell Brand and any of the other issues that come up. So we got a lot coming up, but people can check you out again, MaryBakers.com.
Yep, or TheSaintsPodcast.com. And always a pleasure.
Saints
to
are doing great too, aren't they?
The Saints, I mean, I could hardly have better sponsors than the Saints themselves.
Love it. Peter, thanks. Appreciate you being here. Chaplain of Divine Mercy is straight ahead. If you want to join me, the phone lines fill up quickly. I'll give you the number though. 888-914-9149. Hit Maggie on our social media with your intentions, and we'll pray right after this.